Today we're going to be looking at something a little bit, it's in our holiday queue, we often look at something a bit different, but the more you know a person, the more you know their life priorities, don't you? Their priorities show up, they show their values. The more you know someone, the more you know their values. And their values determine their behaviour, the values determine how they live their life. The overworked husband and father, you know, that stereotypical one that you see on the television always, you know, the hard working one, 7 days a week, careers everything. He might say he values his wife and children the most, but sometimes when watching those shows you think, it can't be right, can it? And I'm sure the wife and the children find it hard to believe that they are number one in the father or the husband's life because of the choices they make. They might say that he values his family, but the children or the mum might say he values his job, his wage, more than his family. The people that know us best know what we value, not because of what we say, but because of what we do. The overworked father, as I said, the reality is maybe he values the significance he gets from his work. Maybe he values the significance he gets from his fellow workmates. I'm sure he does value his family, but we do set priorities in our values, don't we? We value some things more than we value other things. I think of things like hobbies, addictions to drugs or alcohol, to sex, to gambling, the desire to get rich, pursuing pleasure, are all things that people can value more than God, more than a husband or wife, more than children or family. When you see people putting the children's food, money for the food, through poke machines, they're making a statement about what they value most. When we value something more than God, the Bible calls that idolatry. And it's just as offensive as in the Old Testament when they used to make idols and bow down. The things we do put before God is just as offensive as that. People who know you know what you value most. People who just met you don't really know that what you value until they spend time. They start picking up clues, don't they, about what you say, what you do, what you spend your money on. If you show me your budget, if you've got a budget, I bet I can guess what you might value in your life. And when you meet someone with similar values to you, it can feel almost like you just click. I'm sure you've had that feeling, just click. This stranger starts talking and they're talking your language, not just English, but they're talking about the things that are important to you. And your friendship can grow very quickly because you have things in common. If you've travelled overseas, you'll know what it's like to be in a foreign country with all those voices around, and then you hear an Australian accent. And something just clicks in your mind, you hear that Australian accent, and you can simply go up to a person and say, "Hello, are you Australian?" And you start a conversation. Well, try that on the streets of Sydney. Most people are Australian, and they won't talk to you, but in a foreign country, because Australians have common values. They have common... Sometimes it's debatable what those values are, but we have common values. But there is a difficulty for people. There's difficulty for us when our stated values don't match up with our practice. One of the most haunting statements of Jesus, I'm going to put up on the screen here, or Google, Luke 6:46. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" I hope that makes you a little bit uneasy. That does me. Because he's talking to people who call Jesus Lord, but they fail to show their heart reality with their claim. because they ignore, they don't obey what he says. Calling someone Lord or Master or Boss shows a relationship you enter into. But if you ignore what they say, you show what you really think of them. You show them how you value them. As many people here know, I've been to a course with Baptist Union, and a part of that course is I've chosen to do is to explore our understanding of values as a church congregation. It seems that there are values that we'll all be aware of, and there's some values that maybe we're not aware of. There are some values which a lot of people here will hold, and some that only a few people will hold. There are some values that are good, and there will be some values which may not be as good. But when I talk about core values, I'm talking about, for we as a church, what is we consider to be biblical. They're constant, they don't change, they don't sort of change from one week to another. They're passionate about, and it defines what we do. These are what I'm talking about, core values. Values are the things that motivate us, they inspire us, they're non-negotiable guidelines, they are the die-fors. We don't change these things. We never sacrifice. It gives us particular flavour. People notice, maybe this is a little bit different to my other church I went to. These core values are things that matter most to us. They characterise everything that happens. Have you ever wondered why people can... there's some people that come and join us and they're almost at home straight away. They go, oh, yeah, this just... there's something here. That they're attracted to. Others can be here for years and years and just don't ever feel that way. I think it's got a lot to do with different values. It's the same Jesus, the same Spirit, the same Bible, but certain values are core that make us unique. I'm going to hand out a sheet, or I'm going to ask Steve, can you help me hand out some sheets, or maybe Hales, would you mind coming and doing that? So we're going to get a sheet here, and I did send an email around, bring a pen. Who brought a pen? Oh, good on you. If you don't have a pen, someone next to you might have a pen. But if not, I've got some pens here. I'd like you to... Spare sheets. Okay, at the top right hand corner of the box, how long have you been with Westview? That might be months, that might be years, that might be decades. How long? Can you put the number there? 1 year, 2 months? Have a good guess, okay? Just have a good guess. How long have you been? Okay, everyone's filled in that first bit? How many years? So, everyone's got a number in that square, or? Now, those elders and deacons, I don't really want you to do this, so, okay? Elders and deacons, you're not invited. They've already done it. Okay, so it's here, this is what I said, values are those things, written paper, I've got a copy, from which Westview are considered biblical, constant, do not change, passionate about, and defines who we are. Values are foundational motivators, inspiration, non-negotiable principles. They are dietals, that those things which we never sacrifice give a community a particular flavour, matter most, and characterise everything that happens. And so here, this is where Deacon Elders got together, and we just wanted to sort of try to think about some of those things that are important. So read with me, I'm going to go down each column. Love one another. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? The love for one another. Community. Community is very important to us. Caring for one another, isn't it? Bible-centred teaching. You understand what I mean by that? We have the Bible, we open the Bible, we read it, we learn from it. Learning from Jesus. Becoming like Jesus. Attractive property. Life is worship. Do you understand what I mean? Life is worship. But worship is not just what we do here for 1 hour. But actually, our worship is our whole life, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Life is worship. So you worship through your life. Meeting together is the idea of coming together. Communion. You don't have to be here too often to see communion's important to us. Singing praises to God. The actual singing, the music. Recognising gifts. Okay, recognising gifts. Now, in a moment, I ask, you can add something to this list if you want. But encouragement, to encourage other people who come. Acceptance, to be accepting of anyone who comes along. Caring for pastor, that wasn't mine, I didn't say that, but there was mention, the caring for those in leadership. Future planning, thinking ahead. Eldership, as being an important biblical principle. Servanthood, to come with an attitude of serving other people. Servant leadership, the leaders should be servants. To be in harmony, consensus, to agree with each other, to come together and understand the mind of God in harmony. Prayer, to be a people of prayer. Mission, to reach out to others in the name of Christ. Is there anything anyone would like to add? Just a couple of minutes, one minute. Is there anything that something is sort of you think really should be there?
Our style of worship.
Okay. Our program. Okay. So, can everyone write under mission style of worship? Style of worship. S-T-Y-L-E of worship. So that's.
I just would like, would you explain
your
community?
Yeah, coming here, there's aspects of encouragement, acceptance, love, being involved in each other's life.
So it's church family, it's not the wider.
Yeah, church family community, yeah, that's what he's meant by there. Anything else that people would like to add? So you should have written their style of worship. Any other thoughts? Feeling of belonging. So just write belonging. Belonging. Belonging has been written there. So you've got two things extra written there. Style of worship and belonging. I don't want to prolong this too much longer, but if you've got something, shout it out. Okay. A lot of the things you maybe think would somehow fit into those other things maybe. Okay. Now I'm going to give you 1 minute. Literally, I'm going to time you. And I want you to circle the five most important ones. The five most important ones. Your 1 minute starts in 3, 2, one, go. Circle five is the most important. And we have 15 seconds, 45 to go, literally 1 minute. Those that you think is the most important for us as a church. Half a minute to go. You should have done. And after the minute, if you haven't finished five, then I don't. Yeah, stop there. 15 seconds to go. Have you got five? Have you circled five? You've got 5 seconds, literally, and then I'm going to say pins down. Five, four, three, no, just five, three, two, one, pins down. Okay, Steve's going to collect them for me, thank you. No, cross two off. We can't have more than five, we really can't have. I've got to cross the two off. You what for? It's okay. It is hard. It is hard, isn't it? Well. Just throw them up there, see, I'll fix them later. Now, the Els and Egan's did that a couple of weeks ago. It's going to be interesting to see, isn't it? If the Els and Egan's, the church generally agrees with Els and Egan's on how the correspondence is. If you want to find out the answers, come back next week. Okay. We're going to I'll explore them during the week, and you'll hear some more about that, I'm sure. Oh, we probably will. Those people who can't be here today, I'm going to send out an email to them, and they can do it online. But the trouble is, I can't make sure they only do it in 1 minute. That's the problem. Okay. Let me read this passage to you. John chapter 5, verse 12. Jesus gave him this answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, he will show him even greater works than these, so that you'll be amazed. But just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so that the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honour the Son just as they honour the Father. Whoever does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. The thing that struck me in this passage is Jesus did only what he saw his Father doing. What does that tell us about Jesus, what he saw, that his core value in life? Jesus' core value was not determined by what he wanted to do. Remember, he was human. But he wasn't determined to shape his life by what he wanted to do, but he was determined to shape his life by what the Father wanted, the Father's core value. He took on the priorities of God and made it part of his life. And just imagine that. Jesus, fully human. There'd be days when he wouldn't feel like getting out of bed, wouldn't there? Like, we've all had that day, haven't we? Once? Sometime? We just don't want to get out of bed. It's recorded in the Bible that he was hungry. He was tired, he was frustrated, and he was angry. when I'm that way, I'm not real good to be around, just ask anyone that lives with me. It's just not a very pleasant time. But that meant that Jesus got up, even though he might have been hungry, tired, frustrated or angry, and he did what the Father did. He didn't have a day off doing what the Father did. He didn't allow it to be an excuse for why he can be a little bit selfish today, why he can just do what he wants today. Look again at verse 22 and 3. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honour the Son just as they honour the Father. Whoever does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. If you tell me that you are love and devoted to God, but Jesus Christ, well, I've heard people say, Jesus Christ, you know, I could take or leave him, but I love God. Well, this scripture is very plain that we can't do that. If God has placed Jesus in the position of the greatest honour, how can we say that, oh, we could take or leave Jesus? God the Father has the authority over life and death, and this authority has been given to Jesus. Verse 24, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. That place of honour is so great. Jesus' place of honour is so great. Simply by hearing and believing Jesus' words, you move from death to life. The move from death to life comes just simply by hearing and believing Jesus. So great is his position of honour that by hearing and believing we move from death to life. Can anyone be placed in a higher position of honour, of authority, than just to simply hear his words? Takes us from death to life. It's faith in Jesus, who is our final judge, means that he will not judge me the way I deserve, but he will give eternal life. If this is surprising to you, if it is shocking, it certainly was shocking to those who first heard it. Look at verse 28. Do not be amazed at this. Why? Because they were amazed. Don't be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice. Oy, just have a think about that, of your loved ones who have passed away, they will hear his voice and come out. Hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to life. And what is good there, of course, is honouring Jesus. And those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. We as people can make great claims, but we often can't back up those claims, can we? And is that what Jesus is doing here? Well, we know that Jesus did back up these claims when he did what God desired. He allowed himself to be crucified. Read the Gospels. Read Luke 22, when Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane praying that he might have the strength to do what God wants him to do, he's facing the cross. I mean, that's just not play acting. That is Jesus' humanity being ever so real, because he's praying, God, give me the strength to go to the cross. You can see him doing this for the love of God, not because he would enjoy it. And it was 3 days later, And God raised Jesus from the dead. He shows us all, shows everyone that what he said was true. Would God raise a liar from the dead to fool the world? Of course he wouldn't. So when Jesus says, whoever does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him, if you honour Jesus by hearing his words and believe him, your core values in life have just changed. Your core values in your individual lives have just changed. Think of what a person's core values must be for a person like Miriam Ibrahim. You know, you've heard the story on the news. She's in Sudan, a Christian woman who has been sentenced to death. She's given a choice. Deny Jesus, and you can go free. If you don't deny Jesus, you will die. And she was condemned to have 100 lashes and then be hung and killed. In that prison, she gave birth to a second son, and all the reports were that she did it in chains. That's what I heard, leg irons. But thank God, well, for wonderful things, she did not deny her Lord. If she had, none of us would know, would we? If she just denied Jesus, we wouldn't have even heard of her name. But around the world today, she's a news item because she did not deny her Lord. There's conflicting stories in the news lately that she's been released but somehow rearrested. Did you ever pick that up? Yeah. Rearrested trying to leave Sudan, which she was apparently supposed to be able to do. But the core value for Miriam is what? Well, it certainly wasn't just for pleasure, was it? It wasn't even for the life of her son or family. It was for the life of her Lord. She showed her core values by holding on and honouring Jesus Christ as Lord above all else. And today I'd like to encourage you to consider your own core values. Not the things that you know that you're supposed to say are your core values. And maybe if you're brave enough, you could ask someone very close to you who would be honest with you, these are my core values, am I living them out? But if Christ is Lord of your life, if that is something you have to convince other people that actually I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, then something's wrong. If you tell your family and friends that Jesus is the most important person of your life, how are they going to respond? Would they be surprised? You, a Christian? Would they laugh? No, come on, seriously. Would they be confused? Or would it make sense? That makes sense. I'm going to ask Steve to come and pray for us.